Today's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries and the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. A word of wisdom is given by the Spirit to one person, a word of knowledge to another, according to the same Spirit, faith to still another by the same Spirit, gifts of healing to another in the one Spirit, performance of miracles to another, prophecy to another, the ability to tell spirits apart to another, and different kinds of tongues to another, and the interpretation of the tongues to another. All these things are produced by the one and same Spirit who gives what he wants to each person. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, I've heard that scripture on numerous occasions, and I've seen it twisted and turned and flapped upside down and used in ways that I believe take away from the writer's intention. The message in this letter, written from the Apostle Paul to the church established in Corinth, was being delivered primarily to a group of Christian newbies, or noobs, as my son Trent would call them. The Corinthian church was originally established by Paul, and it had been around for about 3 years at the writing of the letter. It's believed that Paul was with that church for about a year and a half, teaching them about Jesus and establishing their community before he left to continue his mission to the Gentiles. Now, I've been on my journey of faith for a couple of decades now, and I still get confused. So needless to say, the church at Corinth had a lot of questions for Paul. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but even well-seasoned Christians argue frequently, debate frequently about all kinds of things. The same was true for the church at Corinth. Many scholars believe that the Corinthians had an ongoing argument about which spiritual gift carried the most importance. Was it prophesying or speaking in tongues, or what was the most important thing? Who could be the best? I don't think we Christians have ever ended that debate. The point here is that I don't think the intention of Paul's letter was to give a see-all, end-all list of spiritual gifts. You had to possess them in order to qualify as a believer. The idea that if you didn't speak in tongues, you somehow had less faith, or if you couldn't receive or assist in healing miracles, that you weren't praying hard enough, no. The emphasis of Paul's message, rather, is found in the first three verses of this scripture. Emma, can we bring those scriptures back up? It's verses 4 through 7. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries and the same Lord. There's different activities, but the same God. A demonstration of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. Not everyone is going to have the same gifts. Your gifts might not even be on Paul's list of spiritual gifts that we just heard. That doesn't matter. Not everyone is going to be called to the same ministries. But let's be clear, everyone has a gift, has something that God can use. These gifts were given to you by God for the purpose of blessing others and to help establish God's kingdom here on earth. Not then, but now. Everything that you've gone through in life, the good, the bad, everything you've learned along the way, your skills, your talents, your failures, your achievements, all of it. Doesn't matter how old or how young you are. We're all called to allow God to use those experiences we have to live a life of service to the world. Do you think your talent or your experience can't make a difference? Uh-uh. No gift is any more important than any other gift. Paul gives a great analogy of this when we read a bit further, right after, in 1 Corinthians. In verse 14, it says, "Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand,' does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, 'I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one in the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, 'I don't need you.' Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary." Let's be crystal clear here. We are the body of Christ. When we made the decision to become a Christian, or if we were born into this and we affirmed our faith at any time along the way, we are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. That means our goal is to become like Jesus Christ. Jesus showed us what a life of service should look like. He was involved in mercy ministries, which is basically meeting the immediate needs of someone. He did that. He met the immediate needs of the hungry, the sick, the outcast, and the grieving. But Jesus was also involved in justice ministries. We have a big conversation about that right now. That's when you look at a government or an establishment, and you look at procedures or rules or laws, and you try to affect change. Well, Jesus did that. He confronted the rules and regulations of the religious establishment that was taking advantage of the poor. Jesus showed us that in order to bless others with a life of service, we need to establish a relationship with the people we want to serve. There's opportunities to serve all around us, opportunities that are specially crafted by God to line up with your experience, to line up with your skill set, no matter what it is. Don't talk yourself out of it and quit before you begin. You never know what God has in store for your particular gift. Now, Jesus was and is literally all things to all people, but we can't be that. We just need to be ready to serve using the gifts that we have when the opportunity presents itself. Now, I try not to get off the platform before I confess something. So some of you are familiar with my story and my background. But for those of you that aren't, I used to struggle with an addiction that nearly cost my life. I was a person that you might, many people might, consider helpless, hopeless, impossibly stuck. And the truth is, at that time, I believed it myself. I was heading downward, and the belief was that I wasn't going to make it. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of that, but when I was at my lowest, it was a follower of Christ that showed up in my time of greatest need. And he selflessly put himself out there, laying down the importance of his own life in order to rescue mine. Now, this person, his name was David. Not you, but another David. David had zero experience dealing with what I was going through. He wasn't gifted with the skills or the tools that were needed to help me overcome the issues that I was facing. But what he did have was a wellspring of love and compassion. The same love and compassion that Jesus modeled. David used the gifts he had at that time. A car. A phone. He used those gifts he had at that time to serve my needs in that moment. What he did for me was a defining moment in my life. It was a catalyst for why I'm now a disciple of Christ myself. David also happened to be a pastor. And look at me now. You never know what God has in store for your gift. We all have them. Now, he didn't have all the gifts he needed to help me get to where I am now, but it took many people, each one using their particular gifts and experiences that led me right to here. They were willing, they were able, and they stepped up, moved by love and compassion, modeled by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to encourage each of you today to think about the ways that you can utilize your gifts to bless someone else. If you're having trouble figuring out what your gifts are, that happens. Make an appointment. Come sit down with Merrill. Come sit down with me. There's lots of tools available to figure out what your spiritual gifts are according to the Bible. UMCDiscipleship.org has a great questionnaire that you can fill out, and it helps you to identify those things, maybe help you start the journey. There's another resource that Rick Warren uses called Shape that utilizes not only the spiritual gifts, but also your experiences, your education, whatever it may be. But what you need to do is be willing and ready to use those gifts. Now, the Apostle Paul follows up his description of spiritual gifts in the body of Christ with a reminder that no talent, no special ability, nothing that you can do matters at all if it doesn't come from a place of love. So my prayer for you today and every day is that you may experience the love of Christ so powerfully in your deepest parts that you are moved to live your life and serve others with extravagant generosity.